This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
If you stop and you really look, there's things happening like beneath your feet in the grass that are really, really amazing.
If you have or even know any kids between the ages of 4 and 16, you may have heard of this week's guest. Today on Sea Change Radio, we're talking with a luminary of children's television, Chris Kratt. Along with his brother Martin Kratt, Chris writes, produces, and stars in two very popular kids' programs on public television, Zaboomafoo and Wildkratts. These shows have engaged a whole new generation of kids on the subject of wildlife, nature, animal habitats, and biodiversity in a way that's as informative as it is playful. Featuring old favorites like koala bears and lions, as well as unsung heroes like pigeons, dingoes, and earthworms, the Emmy Award-winning Kratts channel their incomparable enthusiasm into lessons on the unique roles all animals play in nature. We talk about the origins of the shows, the Brothers Animal Preserve, and we welcome a very special pint-sized guest host who asks Chris Kratt some hard-hitting journalistic questions. Imagine if we lived in a world where everyone who's a kid now grew up with a passion for wildlife and a true appreciation for biodiversity. What if? I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by the co-creator and executive producer of The Wild Kratts and creature adventurer extraordinaire Chris Kratt. Chris, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
It's just an honor to have you. You're a big star in our family. I have a six-year-old daughter who's a huge fan of the show. First, why don't you tell us what The Wild Kratts is?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, Wild Kratts, it's a television show on PBS. It's a kids wildlife show and animal show. And basically what we do on the show, we start out as live action guys on location in an environment with an animal. And then after introducing that animal in that environment, we transition into animated characters and go into an animated story that shows some of the most remarkable behaviors and abilities of that animals. And we do it through a dramatic story that has villains and has different characters. Like, for example, part of our Wild Kratts team is not only my brother and I, in animated form, but also Aviva, who is an inventor, and she takes the things we learn and makes animal inspired inventions. And one of the most amazing inventions she makes is something called the creature power suit. And so when we wear these creature power suits, we're able to do some of the amazing things that animals can do and have these creature powers. And so we're able to run as fast as a cheetah. We're able to dive down into the deep ocean like a sperm whale. We're able to have skunk spray stink. We can see in muddy water like the electrosensory bill of a platypus allows it to do. So there are some amazing things that animals can do, and we explore that in Wild Kratts.
I was telling my daughter I have to call somebody from the Kratt Brothers to arrange this interview. And she was like, are you calling Aviva? And you kind of put a lot of parents to shame, because my kid now knows a lot more about some animals than I do. So I have to thank you for that.
That's great. Well, you know, that's one of the most gratifying things that we hear from people is that, you know, it's so empowering for a kid when they're able to tell their parents or their teachers something that their parents and teachers don't even know. And so when we hear stories about that, it's really great. One kid I remember said, "Guys, you'll never believe it, but I just had to tell my mom all there is to know about skunks. She didn't even know anything about them. You know, and so you could tell that he was just really excited to be able to, you know, teach his mom something.
So there's another show that's a frequent guest in our home called Zaboomafoo, one of your earlier shows. And my daughter has noted that you look a little different in those because it's from 10, 15 years ago.
That's
Can
right.
you walk us back to the earliest days of the pre-Zaboomafoo shows? How did this all get started with you and your brother? And what inspired you to work specifically with animals?
Well, you know, growing up, we always loved animals. And, you know, we grew up in New Jersey. And, you know, even though a lot of people don't think that that's where, we might have come from, there's plenty of creature venturing to do no matter where you grow up. There are peregrine falcons in cities and skyscrapers and different things. And in, you know, suburban New Jersey where we grew up, there we would go in the backyard, we'd find box turtles and possums and raccoons and different things. And so we would take it creature adventures back then. And then also our parents would take us up to Vermont from the time school ended to the time it began again, and we basically set up a camp in a field on some land that they had bought there, and all we had to do all day was go out on creature adventures and find our own fun. And I think that's how we really got into exploring the natural world. And then so we went to college and we majored in biology and zoology, and we realized, you know, as we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do, that there were no wildlife shows on television designed specifically for kids. Kids love animals more than anybody, but yet there wasn't a show for them. When we had grown up on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and, you know, loved that show, but it was designed for families. It was designed more for adults. So we thought, hey, you know, let's just grab a camcorder, go down to Costa Rica. You know, we went with our backpacks and, you know, very little money, and we camped out and we made a video that we thought would be fun for kids and brought it back, brought it into school, showed kids. They thought it was really fun. They thought it was really funny. We took this creature adventure approach of seeing this event of the nesting event of Olive Ridley sea turtles. And, you know, even though we hit a lot of obstacles with producers and broadcasters who, you know, said things like it's too frivolous and different things, we knew that kids liked it. So we ended up getting different grants and different, fellowships from our colleges and different organizations. And we were able to, 5 years later, eventually get our first series on PBS.
And Marlon Perkins can't even hold a candle to the Brothers Kratt, I'd have to say.
Thanks.
Now, here's a clip from the Kratts' earlier show, which broadcast from 1999 to 2001, Zaboomafoo.
I can't wait until this egg hatches so we can find out who's inside.
So I wonder who's going to hatch from that egg?
Well, whoever it is, Sabu, pretty soon it's going to start hatching. And whatever the creature, they all hatch in the same way. First, they break out of the shell. And, like a snapping turtle does, when they finally get out, they're off and on their own, ready to take on the world. Some snakes, like a boa constrictor, get a little help from Mom. She watches over the eggs as each baby snake makes a slit in the egg with her egg tooth and slowly unwinds out of the shell. But who could be in this egg?
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the co-creator and executive producer of Wild Kratts, Chris Kratt. You learned a lot about nature in Vermont. You kept going north, and now your show is made in Canada, correct?
Yeah, the show Wild Kratts is made up here in Canada, yep.
And why are so many kids' shows made there?
Well, for animation in particular, there's a lot of animation being done in Canada right now. There are a lot of kids shows, as you say, being done in Canada, and lots of films and television as well for adults too. Canada has been for many years now supporting the industry, and they have different incentives that, you know, help get shows made by tapping into the resources up here and the different talent. So they've grown a talent base for a while now.
A lot of the inspiration came from you being a kid. Do you and your brother have kids now?
We do. We each have two kids. We both happen to have boys. So we each have two sons.
And I assume you didn't have kids before the first show. How is having kids kind of change your approach to making children's television?
Well, you know, I don't know that it's changed it all that much, because I think from the very beginning, Martin and I both had kind of a kid-like sensibility. And, you know, we get so excited when we're out there seeing different animals, and, you know, when we were able to observe and catch on film or something, an awesome wildlife behavior, we just get naturally excitement. We kind of have a kid-like way of looking at it. One of the ways we've always looked at animals is as fellow creatures. We don't see them as scientific objects, which I think adults tend to do. We see them as fellow creatures. Like, what are they afraid of? What is their favorite thing to eat? What is their favorite thing to do during the day? And so we kind of like to get to know them as you would a friend. So anyway, it's part of it's that sensibility. But I think for sure, having kids now, as we get older and everything, just, you know, kind of amplifies that. And there are lots of things that we observe our kids doing that, kind of has a way of finding its way into the show.
Brought it on down to the post office, but it couldn't fit in a letter. Seemed my worm was awfully cold, so I wrapped it in my sweater. Wanted to go to the desert with it, but they say worms like it wetter. Now I'm gonna get it back, gonna get it back, gonna get it back to nature. Gonna get it back, gonna get it back, gonna get it back to nature. Gonna get it back, gonna get it back, gonna get it back to nature. Gonna get it back.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the co-creator and executive producer of The Wild Kratts, Chris Kratt. Now here's a little sample from the Kratt Brothers' latest season of Wild Kratts.
Hey, a dust bath! It might not look like a great way to take a bath, but rolling around in the dust really works for a bison.
The coating of dust helps get rid of those pesky insects. And rolling around like that helps the bison shed hair.
In the beginning of spring, bison are shedding all that winter hair. And rolling around on the ground is a great way to do it.
So, Chris, how has working so closely with animals informed your perspective on sustainability?
You know, one of the things is we go out there and we see all these amazing animals. And, you know, Martin and I, having this love for animals, we just don't want them to go away. Like, what would the world be like without, you know, orangutans or pandas or these amazing animals that some people have never even heard of, like pangolins, who are, you know, are in trouble now as well. So, you know, and some that we may not even have discovered yet. So basically what we're trying to do with our show is we're trying to just share with people the amazing things that are out there in the natural world. We're trying to, like, get kids excited about the nature that they have around them. And then as they grow up, as they, become leaders, as they become citizens, they can decide, you know, what they want to do for the creature world. But we don't have any, like, really hardcore and pointed environmental messages in our show.
But does it make you more hopeful that the next generation is going to be more responsible with the earth than the current one?
Yeah, I'm very hopeful about that, because I think a lot kids are the drivers for you know, a lot of amazing things that have happened, including things like recycling. I think kids took a major role in convincing their parents to recycle things at home and in that movement in general. So, yeah, I think that, you know, anytime you have a kid that grows up interested in something, you know, they don't soon forget that.
I read that you have an animal preserve. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and its objective?
Yeah, it's called Grizzly Gulch, and it's a wildlife refuge that we created a few years ago now. And basically, one of the reasons we started doing this project is Martin and I had always been interested in conservation, and really it was one of the things that we were looking at maybe doing with our lives. In college, like I did an internship at Conservation International, and you know, but it was early on in the show when we were started to our first series, when we started receiving letters from fans and seeing them at signings and things, that we realized that we could have an impact in conservation, because kids were telling us, oh, things like, oh, I just saw your show on manatees and how, you know, the boats are driving too fast where the manatees are and scraping up their backs. And can you do something to help the manatees? And then, you know, some kids would send us money. Like I remember we got $3.16 from a girl named Katie, and she had raised it in a lemonade stand, and she sent us the money with a letter that said, please do something to help animals. So what we did was we started a not-for-profit called Krat Brothers Creature Heroes, which is dedicated to empowering kids to be creature heroes by helping animals. And our first project was we teamed up with the Gap Foundation and Old Navy to do a 10-city tour across the U.S. And we, through the tour, we raised money for our wildlife refuge fund. And so what we were going to do is protect a portion of our natural heritage with a wildlife refuge. And we polled kids what animals they wanted to help, and grizzly bears came out on top. So we worked with the Nature Conservancy to identify a portion, a critical grizzly bear habitat on the Rocky Mountain front. And we ended up protecting that habitat for the grizzly bears and other wildlife that lives there.
And you guys have a live stage show in the works, isn't that correct?
Yeah, we do.
Tell us more about it if you can.
Yeah, it's Wild Krats Live, and starting this coming fall, it'll start to be, we'll be in different cities across the U.S. and Canada doing this Wild Krats Live stage show. And throughout 2014 and 2015, different dates are filling up now. So you can check our website, kratbrothers.com, or our Facebook page, Wild Krats Official, and find out more about where we're going to be.
And you have a Wild Krats toy line coming out soon as well. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, the toys are launching in Toys R Us this August, and so it's a great line of toys, including plush animals, you know, talking plush of the Krat Brothers, and a play set of the Tortuga with action figures. You know, you get them as two packs with an animal plus the one of the Krat Brothers in that animal power suit.
So have your creature adventures ever led you to discover any new animals, Chris?
You know what? One cool thing that happened recently was a scientist, Dr. Svensson, out of the Cleveland Museum, he discovered a new species of praying mantis in Peru, and he ended up naming it after us. It's called Litargusa cratorum.
Wow, it's like
yeah.
You just need like a constellation, and then you'll be
exactly.
You get all bases covered. That's quite an honor.
It really is. It's the best kind of honor we could possibly have, and you know, it's even cooler because praying mantises are awesome insects. We love them.
Sure. There's talk about how alienated kids are from nature these days, and an author named Richard Louv coined the term nature deficit disorder. Do you think your show has helped combat that?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I can speak to whether that's definitely a growing problem or not. I'm sure there are people that have been studying that. But, I can see, from having my own kids that, yeah, there's definitely more opportunity with technology, more different platforms where you can have a screen in front of your face. But there are also ways to use those screens out when you're experiencing nature. So I think, there are different ways to look at it, but I do think it's really, really important for kids to have times away from any screen, just in nature, exploring the world. The world is such a fascinating place. And the thing about looking at wildlife and nature is that a lot of times you just have to stop and sit down. And when you look closely, you see some of the most amazing things that are happening around you. Otherwise, you might miss it. But if you stop and you really look, there's things happening like beneath your feet in the grass that are really, really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, as a parent of a small child, I can't walk a block without getting slowed down by, let's look at this bug here, or pretty much children are so in touch with nature, and it's an important part of that whole process of being a parent is having your kids remind you. Just this morning I was dropping my daughter off at school, and it's one of the hottest days here in San Francisco, and I said, "Oh, it's one of the hottest days of the year, honey," and she was like, "Ooh, and we've had a drought." Like, she totally connected those dots, right? Like, which I don't think a lot of adults are thinking. They're just like, "How do I dress today on my way to work?"
Yeah.
I like worms because
they're so slimy.
I kind of like them.
They're slimy and they're fun to play with.
They like to be in the dark, and they like moisture.
They provide dirt to make plants and flowers grow.
Yeah.
Responsible with the environment, then bad things can happen.
Yeah.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/seachangeradio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the co-creator and executive producer of The Wild Kratts, Chris Kratt. Here's another clip from Chris's show, Wild Kratts.
Hey, Chris, you ever wonder why a roadrunner is called a roadrunner?
Yeah, I think it's because one of the best places to see them is running across a road in the desert.
So let's hit the road. If you want to understand roadrunner powers, you got to get on your bike.
Because a roadrunner can run as fast as you can ride a bike at full tilt on a flat stretch.
Woo! These birds have explosive speed, and they can run down the fastest lizard.
There's one.
I mentioned my daughter's a big fan of your show, and she is in school right now. Actually, she's on a field trip doing some creature adventuring herself, checking out some animal habitats. So she's indisposed. But she did tape some questions for you, and so we wanted to have a special guest host, Haven Wise, coming at you right now. So the first question she wanted to clarify is not really a question, it's more of a comment.
When we learn about animals in school, it's easy for me because I've already learned it from the Wild Kratts.
Oh, that's great, Avon. I'm glad we're helping you with school. One of the greatest things about learning about animals is that you're never done. There's always more stuff to learn about animals. I mean, we've been studying animals for years now, and every time we go on a creature adventure, we still learn something new about that animal. And scientists are learning new things about animals every day. So there's always going to be more to learn. That's really great that you're doing well in school.
Is Martin your only brother?
Yeah, Martin's my only brother, but I do have two other siblings, and they're sisters. I have two sisters. Martin does too, obviously. And they're twins. Our sisters are twins, and they do also really like animals. In fact, one of them is a vet, and the other one studied biology in college too, and she now works at a pharmaceutical company.
Do you guys fight?
Yeah, well, you know what? Of course we fight. We fight sometimes, you know, more like argue. You know, but it's, you know, it's usually about, we're lucky because it's usually about something really fun, like how are we going to film a certain animal, or what episode do you want to do next on what kind of animal? But we're really, really lucky because, you know, we're brothers and we're able to go out into the world like doing something that we love and work together every day. So it's, you know, it's fine that we fight every now and then, but for the most part, we have a great time together.
And then she had this last one.
Do you have a show for grown-ups, or are you planning to have one?
You know what? We do have a show for grown-ups and family. It's a family show. It's called Be the Creature, and we made a bunch of episodes of it with the National Geographic Channel. And so basically we went and we lived with animals for a month or 5 weeks, and we followed them around 24/7. We slept in some of the places they slept. We ate some of the foods, you know, that they ate if we could. And we saw some amazing behaviors and filmed them for the show. But, you know, we have lots of other kinds of shows that we want to do, and some of them are for adults. So hopefully we'll make another adult show soon. But a lot of adults watch Wildcrats too. We have a lot of adults that love to watch this show.
He's the co-creator and executive producer of The Wildcrats, Chris Kratt. Thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex. It was really fun talking to you.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Samford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Sea Change Radio is made possible by support from Presidio Graduate School in San Francisco, offering MBA and MPA degrees in sustainable management. Learn more at presidioedu.org.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.